Good morning. You know, one of the things I want to say this morning before I get rolling here is from Brother Art Flager and myself. We both work at the Detroit Rescue Mission. We want to thank you for your help and your support and your kindness. We don't say it very often, so when I get up here, I want to make sure I say it. Art hates being up in the front, you can tell, so he doesn't say it very often either. So thank you. Someone gave us 300 cookies this morning, so some of the rest of you need to pray that they'll make it all the way down there in my car.
Torture.
Okay. When Edward Everett Hale was the chaplain of the Senate, someone asked him, you know, do you pray for the senators, Dr. Hale? He thought about it for a little bit. He said, no. He says, I look at the senators and I pray for the country, you know. We all need to receive God's grace. And we're going to be talking about grace this morning because it's all about grace. A story is told about, and for those of you that are Italian in the audience, if I don't get the name right, I'm sorry, but Fiorello. Is that the right way to pronounce it? I don't know. Who cares? LaGuardia, the last name everybody knows. He was the mayor of New York City, you know, during the difficult times of the Depression and all the way through World War II. And he was the mayor, and he was quite a character. He was called by many New Yorkers the Little Flower because he was 5'4", and he always had a carnation in his lapel. He was a colorful character. He would ride the fire trucks, you know, to fires in New York City. He would raid the speakeasies with the policemen. He would take entire orphanages to baseball games. Whenever the New York newspapers went on strike, he would get on the radio on Sunday morning and he would read the Sunday funnies to the kids. One bitterly cold January evening in 1935, the mayor turned up at the night court and told the judge that he would take over for him. And within a few minutes, this tattered old woman was brought before the court. She was charged with stealing a loaf of bread. And she told LaGuardia that her daughter had gotten sick, and because of that, her husband deserted her, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper, for whom the bread had been stolen, refused to drop the charges. You know, it's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor. And, you know, I just can't let this go because then everybody will do this to me. LaGuardia sighed. You know, he turned to the woman and said, I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail. But even as he was pronouncing the sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill, he tossed it into his hat, saying, here's the $10 fine, which I now remit, and I am therefore going to fine everyone that's in this court 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The following day, the New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered old lady who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount came from the red-faced grocery store owner. Well, around 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, New York City policemen, each of whom had paid 50 cents, gave the mayor a standing ovation. Well, here's my question. Did the elderly lady who was in this story deserve what she got? Clearly the answer is, of course not. She had stolen a loaf of bread. Now, she may have had a great reason, or a good reason, however you want to say that. But stealing is stealing. And regardless of the reason, punishment would seem to be the order of the day. So that's what we see in the story that we're going to be reading here in a couple minutes. What we see in the story is called grace. Grace is when one in a superior power shows kindness or mercy to one in a lesser position. Mayor LaGuardia, rather than demanding the punishment of the woman herself, paid the fine and then further helped her cause by a collection of 50 cents from everybody in the room. And then he gave the money to her. It was more than she deserved, right? It was grace. And that's what our gospel text is this morning. It is all about grace. And today we're going to look at the parable of the workers in the vineyard. So turn to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. And I'm going to get cranking here. Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and do work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those who came who hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So, the last will be first, and the first will be last." In this parable, Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who goes out to hire workers to work in his vineyard. And some he hired early in the day, and he told them that he would pay them the usual daily wage. That's normally what the folks earned. And then he goes back at various times during the day, and he found workers waiting to be hired. So he hired them. And each time he hired them, he told them he was going to pay them what was right. Didn't say exactly what that meant. And we're not told why some of them had not found work at the beginning of the day. We really don't know. We don't know if they showed up late. There are no details given about that. But at the end of the day, he comes to pay the workers, and he begins with the ones that he'd hired last. I mean, it's real simple as you read this. And he paid them a full daily wage. Yeehaw! Some were excited, especially those guys that had been there all day. Man, now I'm going to make a killing. I mean, maybe they said that out loud, maybe not. But their excitement is short-lived. Because, in fact, they were pretty upset when they got the same pay working all day as those who'd only worked for an hour. So when the landowner hears them grumbling, he tries to explain, you know, I'm not being unfair. He gave them what they agreed upon. Right, guys? Isn't this what I said I'd give you? It was his money and he could be generous if that's what he chose to do. Now, we're not told how the workers responded to his comment. I suspect that you have your own thoughts. But it would seem that the landowner in some ways didn't know a lot about business. Eh? I mean, the next day, when he comes to hire workers, they're all going to find something else to do until the 11th hour, right? I mean, I don't know. But what we do know about the landowner, what we do know that he knew a lot about, was grace. Right? The workers that came at the end of the day did not get what they deserved. They got mercy. You get that? That's what we're talking about here. And mercy is the heart of grace. Of course, in the parable, the landowner is God, the workers are us, and the pay is the kingdom of heaven. And as you study the parable, you can quickly see that it's all about grace. First of all, guys, the parable says that grace is received, not deserved. And for all of us, and I look around, I know most of you folks, for all of us who are people of faith, we know that we do not deserve God's grace. Nothing that we can do will put us into a position of deserving God's grace. All we can do is receive the gift that God offers freely. Now, some of you might be familiar with this book. David Siemens wrote in his book entitled Healing Grace with this story. For more than 600 years, the Habsburgs exercised political power in Europe. And when Emperor Franz Joseph I, that sounds really cool to say, Franz Joseph I of Austria, he died in 1916. And his was the last of the extravagant imperial funerals. And then there was this processional of dignitaries and elegantly dressed court personages, and they escorted the casket, and it was draped in the black and gold imperial colors. And there was musical accompaniment by the band, and there were torches that were lighting the way, and the somber group descended the stairs of the Capuchin monastery in Vienna. And at the bottom, there was this huge, big, great iron door leading to the Habsburg family crypt. And behind the door was the Cardinal Archbishop of Vienna. And the officer who was in charge, he followed the prescribed ceremony as had been outlined centuries before. "Open," he cried. "Who goes there?" responded the cardinal. "We bear the remains of His Imperial and Apostolic Majesty, Franz Joseph I, by the grace of God, Emperor of Austria, King of Hungary, Defender of the Faith." And the officer continued to list the emperor's 37 titles. 37. And I don't think there was Mr. and Sir. I don't think they were included. "Well, we know him not," the cardinal responded. "Who goes there?" The officer spoke again. This time, he used a much abbreviated and less ostentatious title, reserved for times of expediency. "We know him not," the cardinal replied. "Who goes there?" The officer tried for a third time, stripping the emperor of all but the humblest of titles. "We bear the body of Franz Joseph, our brother, a sinner like us all." And at that, the doors opened. And Franz Joseph was admitted. "No matter who we are, no matter what title we have, no matter how much money or how much stuff we have, none of it can open the way to God's grace." Is that right? Grace is given freely. What is left for us is to openly receive that grace. Grace is received, not deserved. Grace is about mercy, not about fairness. See, when you think back to the parable we read this morning, what would have been fair would be to pay the later workers less than a daily wage, or to pay those who'd worked all day more than the daily wage. Now that would have been fair, I guess. But when we speak about grace, it is something different than fairness, because it's about mercy. And there's a difference. God loves us, and He mercifully gives us more than we deserve. Some of you might be familiar with the Christian financial consultant and author, Larry Burkett. And he tells in his book entitled Business by the Book about going the extra mile, going beyond fairness. Early in his career, he rented an office in a building that proved to be, let's just say, a nightmare. It wasn't constructed properly. The foundation wasn't laid right. And so every year it sunk a couple inches into the ground. And after more than 3 years of putting up with this stuff, losing power, having no water, Burkett moved his business to another location. Well, 2 months had passed, and his former landlord calls him with a demand that he remodel and repaint the former office. Well, Burkett said, "Are you kidding me? You know, I paid my rent. I did all this sort of thing. I gave you plenty of notice." The guy kept calling back. So Burkett contacted an attorney, went over all the paperwork and said, "Oh, you've done everything you were supposed to do. You don't really need to do anything more. It's over." Well, then Burkett goes on to tell about his son, who'd given him a little bit different counsel. His son reminded him that the landlord and his wife had lost their only child a few years earlier, and they still suffered from that tragedy. And he went on to say, you know, Dad, you've been talking about it for a long time, how you'd like to help them heal from their loss. So his son suggested that, well, you know, maybe, Dad, maybe this is an opportunity to do just that, not by doing what was fair, but by doing what was merciful. But Ketz said he considered what his son had said, and he decided that he would commit several thousand dollars to restore a virtually non-usable building. And that's, folks, that's going beyond fair. That's going to merciful. And that's what God's grace is all about. Grace is received, not deserved. Secondly, grace, God's grace, is about mercy, not about fairness. And thirdly, God's grace is for the last as well as the first. It's easy for us to say, oh, we deserve more. We don't say it out loud, maybe, but we deserve more because we are the people who have been faithful to the call of Christ for lots and lots of years. And yet, our God doesn't work that way. That's not the way it works. Today and every day, God wants a relationship with everyone, from those hired first in the morning to those that only manage to put in an hour at the end of the day. That's what God's grace is all about, isn't it? Now, you guys know where I work, and so you perhaps you'll understand why we talk about that a lot. It's something that we have to say over and over and over and over. One of the staff people shared this. You know, I've been there a long time. I can't remember when I heard this. Her father had abused her, and you know what I mean, as a small child. And she grew up, and she overcame the emotional damage that had been done. She became a Christian because she hung around at the church down a couple blocks away. That's where she spent a lot of her time for all the obvious reasons. She eventually married. Years later, after her children had grown herself, she got a letter from her dad telling her that he had become a Christian, that he'd asked God for forgiveness. He'd also realized that he'd sinned against her, and he was writing, he was asking for her forgiveness. Feelings that she didn't know were there surfaced. You know, this isn't fair, she said bitterly. He should pay for what he has done. It's all too easy. Sorry. And now he was going to be part of the family of God. Are you kidding me? He should pay for what he had done. She was sure that that home church of hers was killing the fatted calf for her father and that she's going to be invited to come to that party. She was angry. She was hurt. She was resentful. And then she kind of described it as having a dream. And she saw her father sitting in an empty stage. And above him appeared the hands of God with a white robe. And she recognized it at once because in the dream she was wearing a robe just like it. And as the robe began to descend toward her father, she woke up, tears streaming down her face. The only way she could get past it all was to realize that her earthly father was now the same as she. They were the same in God's sight. God's grace was for him just as it was for her. Realizing this, she was able to forgive her father. Grace is a free gift that we receive. It is not what we deserve. It is about mercy, not about fairness. It is for the last as well as the first. It is all about grace. Jubals is going to come and lead us in a word of a song here. Father, we're so very thankful for your kindness and grace that you've poured out on each one of us here. I pray if there's an individual who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that they might come to know you today. I would ask that you'd part us with your blessing. We'd say these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom we love and adore. Amen. Meeting's dismissed.